This is Jan Swift, and you're listening to Discover Lafayette, a podcast dedicated to the people and rich culture of Lafayette, the gateway to South Louisiana. Discover Lafayette is recorded in the offices of Raider Solutions, a technology company located in the Light Center in Lafayette, Louisiana. Raider offers a complete fleet of IT solutions for businesses of all sizes. Raider's motto is, "You just want it to work, we understand." If you're wondering if Raider can help your business, please visit RaiderSolutions.com. Our guest today is Judy Terzodas, president of The Advocate, Louisiana's largest newspaper. Judy oversees the daily operation of three newspapers in Baton Rouge, New Orleans, and Acadiana, plus 11 weeklies. The Advocate is owned by John and Dayville Georges. Their vision is to preserve iconic Louisiana brands, and the company is dedicated to traditional journalistic values, both in print and online. Beginning September 4th, 2018, The Advocate is rolling out the Acadiana Business Newsletter, which you can sign up for today. Typically, journalists report on other people's stories, but we'll flip the roles today as we listen to Judy Terzodas, wife of Bob, mom of Captain Trey McMinn, and stepmom of John and Sarah, as she shares her story on Discover Lafayette. Judy, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Jan. I'm really excited to be here.
I am too. I'm enjoying getting to know you, and your story is so interesting. I'm glad that we have this opportunity to let the listeners of Discover Lafayette get to know you better, your background in journalism, your hopes and dreams for The Advocate as it rolls out a new Acadiana business. So if we can we talk about your upbringing, where you grew up, and your college days?
Absolutely. So I'm an Army brat. You heard that my son is also serving. Yeah. In fact, in a week from today, he'll be coming back from the Middle East. So he's been deployed for a year. He's a Black Hawk pilot with the National Guard in Hammond. So really glad to have him home. But I am an Army brat, the youngest of four. And I grew up, I went to 11 different schools. That was back in the day before the Army really had it figured out. So we literally would have boxes in the garage or the carport, and my mother would tell us, we don't need to unpack those boxes because we're not going to be here for that season. So I got to move around. I am the youngest, so I unfortunately didn't get to live in Europe like my siblings did, but we bounced between Fort Hood, Texas, the Pentagon. So I was in Northern Virginia a lot growing up as a child. Also, Fort Knox, Kentucky. Spent a little time in Leavenworth, Kansas. No, not in the penitentiary. Yeah. My dad served there. And so, you know, great respect for the military. Mm-hmm. My brother served. My uncle has served. My nieces and nephews have both been in. So it's been part of just the fabric of us giving back. But it is moving around a lot. Teaches you how to immerse yourself into a community and to really take advantage of all the assets. Mm-hmm. So I feel like I didn't live as vastly as my siblings did, but I got to see a lot of the country and a lot of different cultures.
Right.
So my dad retired and moved to Tennessee my senior year of high school, which was so much fun. But again, just another growth experience for me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, going into a high school right outside of Nashville where, you know, these folks grew up together, and to be the new kid as a senior was
Southern accent.
Yeah. I do have this restraint Southern accent that nobody in my family is. But, you know, I had the opportunity to kind of fall in love with Tennessee. And we had moved from Texas, so I was going to go to Texas A&M and had my room assigned and the whole nine yards, all big group of friends that I grew up with, I've spent the last few years with in Texas. Long story short, I fell in love with Tennessee and ended up going to the University of Tennessee, which was a real departure. But my parents were glad because it was in-state tuition.
Exactly.
For them.
Yeah.
But graduated from college. Really proud. When I was there, my internship was with Pat Head Summit, which many of you may know was iconic basketball coach. And again, another great learning experience. Right. And just got to watch her from afar and how she really raised expectations, but also had a really strong human side that people wanted to be their best around her. And they were not going to let her down.
Right.
So just a really good role model for me. So after college, I went to work for an ad agency in Nashville and, you know, cut my teeth there. And then My son's father was in the military, mm-hmm. so he went through ROTC in college, and so we moved around a little bit and then moved back to Tennessee, and I became part of a newspaper group there uh-huh. that was acquired by Gannett. So it was one of those just unique opportunities, a very small company, and you know, really opened so many doors for me.
Yeah.
And quickly moved up the ranks from, you know, a sales manager to general manager to publisher, mm-hmm. and have bounced around with Gannett for 25 years.
I was asking you about that before we started taping. That's a lifetime for you.
A lot of friendships.
I know you have a lot of friends.
I do. And just a great company, largest media company in North America.
Right.
And always on the cutting edge. And I always will have a special place in my heart for Gannett and that company and really what they afforded me.
Right. Right. So you joined The Advocate just recently.
6 months ago.
Yeah. You want to talk about that?
Yeah. So that was really just in terms of ending my career, really 4 or 5 more years until I retire. I had the opportunity to know John Georges mm-hmm. and was astounded by the uniqueness of his business model. In fact, you referenced it. I mean, he really has that in his heart, wanted to elevate community journalism.
Well, the Manships had set the bar so high.
Exactly.
And I knew when he purchased it that he wanted to continue the legacy of fine reporting and home-owned.
Absolutely.
Business. Yeah.
Very, very much so. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we have 104 journalists across 3 markets, which, you know, is unheard of these days. It really is the largest news organization in the state by far. Mm-hmm. And so what that gives us is more in-depth reporting. And so really proud of the work that we do. And he's owned it for 5 years, this media company. And, you know, that's not his business has been Imperial Trading,
right.
but he's been a student of media. And what he has is a long-term vision. In fact, he said to me, I'm a very patient man.
Thank goodness.
I want to grow it the right way. Mm-hmm. I want to do the right thing by our employees and by the community. And so he really, truly is one of those situations where he is leading with his heart, and it's paying off for us as a company.
Right.
We're growing circulation year over year on print, which you don't see anywhere mm-hmm. in the country. In fact, when I tell him what an anomaly is, you know, it just, again, not coming up in the media business, that was his expectation. So kind of like Pat had some, like, you don't want to let John George is down.
Yeah.
But it's really grown. And then our digital assets are so vast as well. We have the largest audience in the state and far beyond that. So all of our portfolio is, for a locally owned company, is really robust and really surprising. So when I had the opportunity to talk to him and about coming in and leading his company, I didn't even think about it. It just felt right from the get-go.
Right.
So it's been really, really, really fun.
I'm delighted that they're looking at keeping the print version. I know that that's, you know, as you said, it is an anomaly, but I don't know if it's because I grew up, you know, reading books in print, but I really prefer it. It's easier on my eyes, and I feel that I can just scour all the news instead of having to look online. But I guess I don't want to be a dinosaur, but do a lot of people still prefer to look at the print?
It's and you look at our demos, because of the size markets we're in, mm-hmm. I mean, it's less than half are baby boomers and above, so it's about 43%.
Oh, okay.
So there's a big part of our audience that are young families,
uh-huh.
right, college students even, but they're reading us in a very, you know, different way. They're reading
yes.
us some in print, they're getting our breaking news alerts, they're mm-hmm. on their mobile site, they're on, you know, if they're sitting particularly at state government, you're sitting at your desk, you're going to log on and see, you know, what's the latest news.
Yeah.
So we obviously have a far more vast audience than we ever had, but there's a long life in print.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I truly believe that. And I have an owner that believes it as well.
I'm glad to hear that.
Yes.
So, Judy, I'd like to just take a second, if we may, hold that thought, because I want to hear more about The Advocate and the owners, the Georges. But I'd like to acknowledge one of our sponsors, LUS Fiber. They were recently ranked by Harvard University as number one in the nation for price savings. A trailblazer in community broadband services, LUS Fiber can serve your telephone, internet, and television needs. For more information, please visit lusfiber.com. So, Judy, the business model for journalism, for media, has changed dramatically, and it seems really quickly, but maybe not. Would you talk about that and how The Advocate, what you've seen through The Advocate? I know they have a large audience.
Yeah, thank you for that. Because a lot of times when you hear the particularly the Advocate, which has such a strong brand in Louisiana, you immediately think of just a newspaper. Mm-hmm. And we're so much more than that. I mean, we're very committed, like you and I just spoke about, of a very strong print publication. And that won't go away. But we also have diversified in terms of growing audience. And our website, which is really surprising, most people don't realize we're a top 1,000 ranked website in the country. In
That's
fact,
incredible.
Just this morning, Alexa, our ranking was number 519th.
Congratulations.
And that, it is just phenomenal mm-hmm. to think. And so what that, you know, why is that? And just decades of exceptional journalism, particularly around sports. Mm-hmm. We are nationally, we win the top one or second
Well, who's
in the
quarterback going to be? You have
there
to look at the Advocate.
And then state government, because Louisiana has some kind of politics that, you know, kind of make it easy to to have good coverage. And we have the largest number of reporters at the state capitol. So we have three full-time folks at the state capitol. So, you know, our audience is vast, but it also, to us, is like, how can you create other business models mm-hmm. that complement both the print and the digital assets? And so one thing that we're venturing into is events. And so that's what I call face-to-face journalism. Mm-hmm. So the opportunity to interact with either a reporter or a resource or kind of behind the curtain look is also what we'll do. And mm-hmm. so I think that full round of why is it relevant to live in this market? You know, what mm-hmm. what does it mean to me to be a resident of either Acadiana or Baton Rouge or New Orleans? We'll be able to make those connections.
I love
for
the
our
events.
Readers.
I love that, because so many people do feel disengaged. I think if there's high-quality opportunities to meet some of the movers and shakers,
right.
elected officials, learn more about what's going on in a fun setting. I think people, they enjoy that. So
I agree.
Yeah. So you'll be doing that across all your markets.
We will. Uh-huh. We will. And just, you know, to really reflect the individual markets. So it could be, you know, a book. We have a book club that's kind of started where local authors in New Orleans come to our event space. And so it would be, you know, a little bit of Q&A along mm-hmm. with interacting or book signing. So it just, there's a variety from just, again, it's being bringing out what's the fabric of that community and making it available to mm-hmm. everyone.
Right. Yeah. Now, on the presence that you have on the internet, I know that when you go for advertisers and sponsors, I mean, you have to have all that to stay in business. The more hits you have, the better your chances of gaining advertisers. So what type of what are the numbers that the Advocate enjoys?
So we have 3 million unique visitors a month, which is outstanding.
Yeah.
And then also, depending on the season and football being our height, we have between mm-hmm. 17 and 20 million page views a month.
Oh, my gosh.
Huge, outstanding. Again, ranked this morning as number 519th in the entire country in terms of audience. So it is gives the advertiser, of course, you know, that sounds like such a big, vast mass audience, but you can slice it and dice it from, you know, mm-hmm. demos to behavioral to, you can take all of the things that you do in your digital portfolio, and we can give you that precise targeting mm-hmm. as well. So I think it's the best of both worlds.
Yeah. Your job must have changed so much over the years.
It has.
I mean, to know about the demographics and the analytics, I've had to learn a lot doing this podcast. I mean, I'm really self-taught, so I'm learning, but the Alexa ranking is incredible.
It is.
519.
I know. It's really something.
Out of millions. I mean, it's just incredible. So congratulations.
And then data, too. I mean, you think of advertisers and really, you know, they're it's so fragmented right now. And so I came up through the advertising side. And so to me, it's so important for advertisers to get an ROI. Because I think of if I was them and I was owning that business and making decisions on how do I...
Where's my dollar going to go?
That's right. And can I grow this business so that it is profitable for my family and for my employees' family? Mm-hmm. So when we make a presentation, we use data to be able to make sure that we are researching and getting them the best opportunity to get the strongest return on investment, because that's, you know, just as important to us.
So, that educated consumer.
But it is. It's very complicated. So you have to be, again, it is evolving so quickly. You have to stay on top of the trends and the technology so that you do make that best presentation and recommendation.
Right. Well, I want to hear about your Acadiana Business newsletter that's starting.
So we're really excited. So I was probably about 4 months ago, I was in some meetings in Lafayette, and over I kept hearing, is the advocate going to do anything to fill the void that ABIZ had left? Mm-hmm. And we are very good friends with Cherry and with Steve, and excited about their retirement in New Orleans. But it has left a void. And, you know, really rightfully so, the business community says we deserve our own business report and one that is unique to Acadiana. Mm-hmm. And so the more I was asked about it, I really took it to heart and put together a business plan, talked to a lot of folks, mm-hmm. and we're launching a business newsletter, and starts next Tuesday, so you can sign up at theadvocate.com, and it's free, mm-hmm. so it's Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock, and we hope to grow it to 2 times a day, Monday through Friday.
Right.
But it'll start off at 10 o'clock, Monday through Friday. Also have a section in Sunday's Acadiana Advocate, so it'll be a business section, so you'll see enterprise and mm-hmm. feature stories around business, as well as quick hits and industry right. trends and connecting the dots. And you'll also find the content on our website on the Acadiana Advocate. Mm-hmm. So the Acadiana business coverage will also be housed there. So right. you've got the newsletter, you've got the Sunday edition, you have it also on our website. And then we'll have speaker series and we'll do some events. So really trying to get back to that face-to-face journalism as well as the written word.
Right. Right. Well, you've hired some people that are coming in, I think you had told
yes.
me, too. You've got a new, if you can talk about that for a
we
little
do.
Bit.
We do. So we have two dedicated writers. This is all they will do. So Adam Daigle is our business editor, and mm-hmm. he's from Gonzales. His family still lives there. He's been in Tulsa, Oklahoma, as the assistant business editor, so he is thrilled to come back to Louisiana.
That's wonderful.
We're really
yeah.
glad to have him. Mm-hmm. And then Dan Boudreau, which some of you may know, he's been a stringer for us. He's done freelancing for the Acadian Advocate for about 6 months.
Yeah,
so
I know
he
that
comes
name.
On.
Yeah.
Right. Is a full-time writer as well. Uh-huh. And then Ben Myers, who's been on our staff, mm-hmm. will contribute, as well as Leslie Westbrook, who's a great photographer. And we'll have freelancers and, you know, a lot of guests that will also contribute content. Mm-hmm. So it all starts next week.
Right. I'm excited.
Thank you.
So tell me about your work. I mean, you are a blur up and down the highway. I know you're between New Orleans, Baton Rouge is where
right.
you live now, and Lafayette. What is it like managing all this, if I may ask?
Well, you know, it's really been fun because you look at the company, and so I'm trying to create some overarching strategies for us as a media company. But we're in three very unique markets.
They are unique.
So really, yeah. them being able to have really the strategies that connect with their readers and advertisers, mm-hmm. we're building them out, and they shouldn't look alike. So it's refreshing because it is not the same thing in day in and day out. Mm-hmm. Every day is different. And every time I go to a market, it's a different set of challenges and opportunities. Mm-hmm. So I have been riding I-10 a lot.
Yeah, which is not always the best place to be.
But that's okay. My last job, I oversaw 3 states and 8 markets. So I was traveling in a little different way.
Yeah.
But it's fun. And God, oh man, it's been really inspiring. We have about 320 employees between all 3 locations and really smart group of folks. So mm-hmm. being able to listen to their ideas is really, I've been on board for 6 months, so I've been mm-hmm. listening a lot and asking a lot of questions.
Yeah.
So you know, I always feel like the best ideas usually come from the front lines, from
right.
the staff that are dealing with the readers and dealing with our advertisers directly. Mm-hmm. So it's been fun.
So is Smiley Anders really as funny as he seems?
He's so great. he loves to do haikus. He just celebrated last week his 45th anniversary with the Advocate.
What a gem.
45th. We all gave him a standing ovation.
Yeah.
And then some.
His
he
stories.
Tweets. He does everything. I mean, you talk about someone. He tweets. Yes. I mean, he's a great example, you know,
yeah.
really for the young journalist and, you know, and very well respected, obviously.
Oh, of course. But I mean, people write in like he's, you know, their brother or something. Let me tell you this story. And for people that, I'm sure most people know who he is.
I would think so.
He is just, I've always admired him and his humor.
He's great.
And his understanding of human nature,
right.
too. So.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, I understand that the Advocate recently bought Gambit. And I did want to let you talk about that. That's a well-known weekly newspaper in the New Orleans market.
It is. And that's really a wonderful compliment to our portfolio. Mm-hmm. In fact, back in the day when I was in Nashville at the Tennessean, we started an entertainment publication literally 18, 19 years ago, and we used Gambit as our model because it has just, even till this day, has had just a national presence of being the right way to cover entertainment and really in news too. Because and Clancy and Margot Dubois are amazing people, and they had, like, we've twisted their arms, so they're staying to help us. They're consulting with us for the next few years. We're not going to let them get off the hook, but it has built. They both have built this tremendous, really following of readership and doing it the right way, and lots of events. I mean, that's a part of their portfolio, and special editions, and they're everywhere. And it's a very small team that's lean and mean and have been together for a long time. The tenure's great there. So we're respecting that business model.
Yeah, let them keep it
is
up.
Not doesn't need to be anything like what we do. It needs to be a compliment. And so we're trying to help them on the back end with systems and printing and things like that. But, you know, their journalists are still covering their beats. Their ad staff is still covering the businesses that they do business with. And you know, so it, that part of it, I think, is really smart of us to be able to bring them in and then be able to, down the road, if it makes sense, do some cross-publishing, do some cross-selling with our advertisers.
And when I looked on online on your site, the Advocate site, I also saw, I guess they're weekly, I'm not sure, they might be monthly, the magazines. Can you talk about that a little bit? They're really well done.
They really are.
Lifestyle.
It's, yeah, it's Adore is the nameplate, and predominantly in New Orleans have really taken a foothold and been, it's a higher end magazine that's all local. So anything that you see in that magazine, you can go today and go purchase, which I think is really important. And so we're taking that business model to 8 times next year. So we're building that out, and you know, it's been so well received. And you would think, as cluttered as New Orleans would be with competition, it has risen to the top, and really from readership and from advertisers. So
it's elegant.
It is really well done.
Yeah. I just didn't realize the Advocate was. I didn't realize how much you did. So we're here with Jason Secora today. As you know, Judy, and I've seen Jason over here busily writing questions down. I typically don't think of the main questions, and he'll back me up. And you have anything there?
I've got a couple good ones. But let's start with, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
You obviously love your job. So this two-part question. What's the funnest part and the toughest part?
Okay, the funnest part is sitting down and talking to the really smart staff. It's, and I like to just pull an ad hoc group of people together and say, this is what I'm thinking about, or, you know, what is on your mind? If you were me, what would you want me to worry about and think about? And they have lots of ideas. So I get really jazzed just hearing what's inside their brains and then empowering them literally to say, then go, if you think that'll work, go do it. You know, and that part of it, I think, is important for me to be able to help grow the gifts and talents of the staff that I have. And I think that's their empowerment. So that, I love that.
Excellent.
And the part that drives me crazy.
Yes.
It's the inefficiency of being on the road.
And
if I can, I hitch a ride with one of my staff if they're going either direction. But eat up so much of your time behind the windshield. And I do get on the phone a lot when I can. But I tell you, I-10 makes it a little dicey to be paying 100% attention. But that's, you know, that's like the, I want to get over there. And you just know the time commitment. So I try to be in Lafayette 1 day a week at least. And in New Orleans, one, sometimes 2 times a week. So that's the part. It's just not, I haven't found the efficiency yet making that happen.
You need a helicopter.
I talked to my son about that.
No pilot, you know.
Excellent. Do you have any advice for those who want to get into journalism or just media in general?
Yeah, I think the important thing is do internships when you can. Just go get the experience. You know, I talked about Pathead Summit. I was on the media team, so we wrote the media kits. And, you know, we did wrote press releases, which I'm dating myself now. But that immersion of being in an organization and seeing how it ticks and how it works just pays. It really opened the door for, I worked for a very large ad agency in Nashville. I would never have gotten in that door except for I had the internship and I could say Pathead Summit. And they're like, okay, then you've seen the real world. And so that part, I think a lot of times, you know, coming out of college or when you're in college, you're just ready to hit the ground running, but paying dividends in terms of internships, and they're everywhere. I mean, they're local, they're national. Go spend that time, that seed time, it will so pay off.
That makes a lot of sense. Then my final question, we're at a technology company right now, and we've obviously seen how technology has changed the way people get their media and the way you have to present it as well, from I guess maybe starting with websites and then to social media, Facebook, and I get most of my news now from Twitter, actually. Is there anything down the pipeline that we as just regular people haven't seen yet that you've seen that's going to change the way that you have to present or get information?
You know, I think so much of really the technology, particularly in social and how the algorithms are written, I'd feel like something new is going to emerge because it is, as particularly as a publisher, it's there. The windows keep getting closed on how if we start to grow an audience, Facebook will either change the algorithm or change some of the rules of engagement. And you know, I'm a big proponent of video, and I think that video is going to continue to play. And Pointer News will tell you this, that the Institute will say that, you know, in 2020, don't quote me exactly right, but in very short order in the next 2 years, about 80% of what you'll see online will be video storytelling. So telling a story, and really that's something we're working with our reporters. The written word's important, but storytelling via visual and video is really important. But yeah, that it's moving really quickly. And so that Teva, you know, a company that is willing and embracing to keeping up with the latest technology is really important.
Excellent. Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jan.
And I want to follow up on that thought with the recent shooting in Florida at the John Madden tournament. I heard some online, I was listening to either Fox News, CNN, or someone talking about how in the old days, you know, this would happen and the newspaper people would have time during the day or even overnight to verify news, to make sure their facts were right. And with Twitter and everything, people find out instantaneously and stories were out there. And it's very difficult in today's world to actually be able to verify your facts because everybody's competing to get the news out there. So that's got to be a challenge.
It is. And, you know, philosophically, you don't, everybody wants to be first, but you've got to be right.
You can't not
make sure that you've got the information correct. So, you know, it's good to put out little blurbs. This is what we're hearing, but, you know, more soon we're going to investigate. And, you know, I think back sadly to the shootings here at the CentiMark and really what, you know, when I was at the Advertiser, had one of the first reporters on site and just really heard it through social that this had happened and jumped on it. And so you got to get your eyes on the ground and you've got to be able to really talk to sources and, you know, and the media, I think, particularly when it comes to disasters or to things of that, they share information pretty readily and become part of a team of making sure that they want that story told correctly.
But
it is, and I think, you know, the credible media sources aren't just going to post something without really sourcing it because, you know, you do that one too many times and it's the cried wolf and people won't come back to you.
So integrity never goes out of fashion.
That's right, absolutely.
Yeah. Judy Terzotis, I'm just honored to have you on the show today, and congratulations on your position with The Advocate, the new Cadiana business that's being launched on September 4th. We'll all be, you know, looking for that, and I want to encourage everybody to sign up for it online. There's no charge for it. I'd like to thank Raider Solutions, too, and Jason. Thank you for making this show happen. And to our listeners, you can hear this episode and all of our episodes on our website, discoverlafayette.net. You can also go to Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, anywhere you get your podcast, and subscribe, and please leave a review. It helps us keep the show going. On behalf of Discover Lafayette, I'm Jan Swift. Thank you.